Welcome back, trainers. We have officially made it to the Victory Road. We are almost at our final destination. You've finally gotten all 8 gym badges from Kanto. You've defeated all of the gym leaders from the Kanto region, and now it's time to take on the Elite Four, the Pokemon League. Uriel, you finally made it to the Pokemon League. Just off the top of your head, what is your Kanto team?
Obviously, I would have Charizard.
Of course.
I would have... I don't know.
Come on.
Okay.
Kanto Pokemon. Kanto Charizard.
I don't know. Pikachu.
Okay, of course.
Pikachu.
Water type. Who's your water type?
I'll probably go with Poliwrath.
Okay.
I'll probably go with Gloom.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Do I have to have all 6?
Yes. All 6. Come on.
Okay. I'd have a Golem.
Okay.
I'd have...
Now we're talking.
I'd have a Gengar.
All right.
And I think... What is that? 4?
I think that's 6 already. No, so you said Charizard, Pikachu. Uh-huh.
Pikachu.
Gloom.
Poliwrath.
Golem. Poliwrath.
Gengar.
Gengar. All right. What do you guys think of that team? You have Charizard and Pikachu in there, so it automatically disqualifies you. But then, that's your typical Kanto team. Well, what else can I expect?
Look, there's only 151 Pokemon. I don't have a lot of selection.
You're right. Welcome back, everybody. We are officially almost at the end of Volume 3. We have officially made it to the Pokemon League. And I just want you to take you guys back to... way back in the Game Boy Color days, maybe even Game Boy Pocket days, and the first time you played your Pokemon Red version or your Pokemon Blue version, and you ended up at the Pokemon League, at the Indigo Plateau, ready to face off the Elite Four.
Dun, dun, dun.
Man, those were the days. Now, this brings me to my first question to Uriel.
Yes.
Can you name Kanto's Elite Four and the type of Pokemon that they use?
I can't name the trainers, but I know that for sure, there is a fire user.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
What if I at least show you the picture of them and see if you can name them?
No.
Just give it a try. All right, listeners, I got the picture here of Kanto's Elite Four. Are you ready?
Not really, but I mean, you're persistent in doing this bit.
You know what? This is perfect, though. This is how every 10-year-old back in the day felt the first time they faced the Elite Four. None of us had any idea what we were getting ourselves into. So that's exactly what's about to happen. All right. On the count of 3, I'm going to show this picture to Uriel. 1, 2, 3. Who are these trainers, Uriel?
I have no idea. I know for a fact the last guy that's standing up with his arm, he's a dragon user.
Okay, so we know that.
And then you have the one in the bottom, he's fighting.
Okay, that's good.
And then the old lady is psychic.
Oh, so close.
Ghost.
There you go.
Ghost type. Now, I don't know the chick. She has to be probably flying or maybe grass type. One of those two.
Okay. Incorrect. Okay.
Well, everything was incorrect from the beginning.
No, not 100%. You completely failed at naming them.
Well, of course. I told you since the beginning. I'm
just going to throw that out there. But you're correct. So, as we all know, and as any of our listeners know, the first guy that Uriel described is Lance. The Dragon-type user. Now, let's be honest. In reality, Lance should be a flying type user because all his Pokemon are part flying.
That's true.
He has a Charizard. He has 2 Dragonites. He has an Aerodactyl.
Does he have a Flygon?
No, maybe in Gen 3, but okay. We're still in Gen 1. He also has who else does he have?
He has a Salamence.
Again, Gen 3. Oh, God, I forgot him. Talking to a very young guy here.
Sorry, this isn't 1989.
But if there's anything that all of Lance's Pokemon have in common is that they're all flying types. But for someone who supposedly is a dragon type user, not all his Pokemon are dragon type Pokemon.
That's true.
But yes, that's Lance.
And now, Charizard.
Yes, correct. Now, the second guy that you mentioned, you were correct. He is a fighting type user, and his name is Bruno.
Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't.
But we're going to talk about Bruno today. Yes, he's a fighting type user. Now, he does have an Onix on his team, but he's also known for having a Hitmonchan and I believe a Hitmonlee. And in Johto, he has a Hitmontop. So that's Bruno. And the lady, the one that you first said was the psychic type user, is actually Agatha, who uses ghost type.
She looks like a psychic type user.
She's ghost type, okay? Mm-hmm. And her main Pokemon, as we all know, is Gengar. And the last one, which is my personal favorite, because she's pretty hot. But even though she's pretty hot, she uses ice type.
Oh.
Lorelei.
Huh?
Lorelei.
Lorelei?
Correct. Oh. Which, for whatever reason, in the anime, they call her they call her Marina. I was going to say Primarina, but that's a Pokemon. But yes, Lorelei, and she uses the ice type. So the order that you fight these, as everybody remembers from the games, you first fight off Lorelei. From there, you go to Bruno. Then it's Agatha. And then last is Lance. Now, Uriel.
No.
This is kind of a question on the spot. After you beat Lance, who comes in after Lance?
Don't you fight Blue?
Yeah. Woo. Can we get an applause for Uriel over here?
Can we get an amen?
Can we? Testify. I don't know about an amen. Maybe a hallelujah.
But hallelujah.
At least you finally got something right.
Right?
Jeez. But all I remember as a kid is that you fight the Elite Four. They give you the illusion that they're the only trainers you have to defeat. And then you barely manage to survive Lance. And then they're like, oh, you're not the champion yet. Someone else beat you to it. And now you got to defeat him if you want to be the champion. And that's where Blue, aka Anime Gary Oak, which we all know is basically Professor Oak's grandson, comes in. He's also your rival. Basically comes either to totally defeat you or you defeat him and you finally beat the game.
Oof.
But yes, guys, as we know, that's the Pokemon link, the Pokemon League within the games. Now, obviously, for any anime watchers, we know that for whatever reason, now the Elite Four do exist within the anime, but for whatever reason, they've always stayed away from the main storyline. I don't know why, but the anime takes more of a tournament approach,
yeah,
where you fight other
trainers,
correct, to see who's the best of the best. I don't really know when or how the Elite Four ever come into place, but that's pretty much how the anime does it. Now, I got another question for Uriel.
Yeah.
This one is a little bit more concerning the chapter that we're about to read. You did read today's chapter, right, Uriel?
Yeah, definitely.
Chapter 39.
Yeah.
Where a certain bird.
Oh, yeah.
Takes the center of attention here.
Yes.
You're not convincing me, but we'll see. Anyways, for all my veteran players, readers, Pokemon fans, we know that in every region, there is an early route bird Pokemon. In every route, you encounter certain birds. Most of them have two evolutions. Some of them have one. Just off the top of your head, Uriel, how many can you name? Well, early route birds.
Does it have to be Gen 1 or is it all general?
Let's see, for example, I'll name you the region and see what comes up to your head. Okay. What comes to mind?
Okay.
Kanto.
Pidgey and Spearow.
Good. Johto.
Starmie? Okay. I don't know.
That's Sinnoh. You're talking about Starly.
There you go.
Okay. Hoenn.
You don't even know.
I forgot his name.
How dare you?
I just know his final evolution, which is Swellow. What's the first one?
Oh, my God. He's so unforgettable.
He really is. Anyways, we'll go on to the one. Let's see if you know your own region's early route bird. Unova. He's a very basic common bird. What is he? Come on. Jesus Christ. You got this.
I know, but I'm just trying to phrase it because I feel like if I say it, it's either going to come out bad.
Listeners, who is Unova's early bird?
Not Bidoof. That's
the bee. Wow. Anyways, it's Pidove.
Pidove. There you go. I was just so like, I know it's like a dove. I'm like, ugh.
I don't expect you to know this one, but what is Kalos' early bird?
Kalos?
He's actually a really good one.
Kalos.
Gen 6. Oh, no. I don't know. Fletchling.
Oh, there you go. Didn't play that game.
Now we're going to go to the Alola region. Any idea whose bird that is?
No. He's unforgettable.
Pikipek.
There you go.
I don't even think I know Generations 8 bird. Actually, no. It's another good one.
I know he looks like a crow.
Do I know his name?
No.
Probably not.
I don't.
I just know he evolves into a steel flying type.
Yeah, he's a steel. Isn't it Steel Crow?
Oh, God. No, he is.
Or Steel Raven, something like that. But I know he's like a crow. He looks like a crow.
Forgive us, guys. Yeah. These are the newer generation Pokemon. It's not that they're forgettable because he's a real cool Pokemon. I just can't remember the name. Generation 9.
Didn't play that game. I don't even know the names of the starters. No, I'm kidding.
No, yes, I do, actually. Yes, I do. We have a few episodes that prove that. But anyways, all I know is that he evolves into Kilowattro. He ends up in an electric flying type.
Interesting. Pretty cool. Interesting because electric is strong against flying types.
Correct.
So that's pretty interesting.
And as far as I know, there's very few flying electric types.
Yeah.
The very first one that comes to mind is Zapdos. Yeah. And then after that, it's just Emolga from Unova.
Oh, yeah.
And then now we have this one. Like I said, I just remember the final evolution, which is Kilowattro.
Interesting.
But yes, guys. And you'll see right now, we're about to jump into today's chapter. And you're going to see why we're talking about these early birds. But anyways, are you ready for today's chapter, Uriel?
Yes, we are. But before we begin, I actually have a question for you.
Unacceptable.
Last time you bragged that you knew any Pokedex entry from Gen 1. Oof. So I want to see if that's true or not.
Bring it.
I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry.
Hey, as long as we agree that it's going to be multiple choice.
It is multiple choice.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm going to read you the Pokedex entry. I'm going to read it to you 2 times, and then I'm going to give you the options that are available.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. This is from Red and Blue. Its sleek shape is perfect for swimming. It slashes prey with its claws and drains the body fluids. I'm going to read it again.
Okay.
Its sleek shape is perfect for swimming. It slashes prey with its claws and drains body fluids. Who is this Pokemon? Amistar, Rhydon, Kabutops, or Onix?
Kabutops.
Yes.
How dare you?
You know what?
Try to challenge me.
You know what? You're lucky. I gave you an easy one.
You're right. You did. And then the options. Come on. You threw 2 rock types at me. Well, then again.
Well, he's rock type. All those are rock types.
You're right. But then again, that Pokédex entry had water characteristics.
So did it. Omnistar.
But come on. Who's the most menacing looking one? Kabutops.
Not really. Omnistar looks pretty freaky.
But let's give Uriel a round of applause for challenging me and my Kanto knowledge.
I think you just got lucky.
You're probably right.
I'm going to give you a really hard one next time. So just be prepared.
I'll be prepared. Always.
I hope so.
All right, guys. So a quick recap of 2 weeks ago's chapter. We finally saw Red defeat Giovanni. Even though it was full of plot armor.
Tell me.
I think you guys heard us express enough how much the game mechanics got thrown out the window.
No justice for the games.
We literally saw Pikachu, not even a Raichu, which is a better electric mouse. Anyways, we saw Pikachu completely electrify, what was it, 7, 8 ground Pokemon types? Well, not all of them were ground types, but there was at least 5 of them there. 5 ground types, including Giovanni. Red finally defeats the Team Rocket leader. He defeats Kanto's 8th gym leader.
Yes, sir.
And the last thing that we see was that the little girl pretty much proposes or asks Red, like, hey, can you stay and be Viridian City's gym leader? Red takes off, very excited, and says, hey, once I get enough experience, I promise, I'll be back and be the best gym leader you've ever seen. And that was the end of chapter 38. And now we are finally starting chapter 39. And the name of this chapter is called Just a Spearow Carrier, or Versus Spearow. Now, the first page that we see here, we have a large building. We have a crowd of people just surrounding this building. Now, if you pay attention, you could actually see that a lot of these people are actually Pokemon trainers whose design resemble a lot of the trainers from the game. And the first dialogue bubble that we see is somebody speaking. Maybe it's an announcement, maybe talking from a speaker, but it's basically telling all these people, single line, please, form a single line. And then in one of the middle panels, we see the Pokemon president, which we've seen in from previous chapters, and he's running. He's saying, excuse me, and he's cutting the line of these people. These people pretty much push him back. It's like, hey, old man, no cutting. The old man is looking around. He's like, the Pokemon president, he's like, is that how you treat your elders? And then we see a Spearow. He's like, oh, now, isn't this something? The Pokemon president carries the Spearow and he says, where's the owner of this Pokemon? The Pokemon Lovers Club will declare you an honorary member on the spot. And then somebody from behind him says, "Is like, hey, please give that back. That's mine." And we just see the last panel that we see on this page is that somebody with gloved or looks like has taped on his hand, somebody grabs the spear from the Pokemon president. And we're going to go on to the next page, which is the official first page of chapter 39. Go ahead, Uriel. Who takes the Spearow?
So it doesn't say yet, but this is a very interesting character, and this should be one person that you should keep an eye on. So yes, You'll see later on in the chapter. So you cut next to the next panel, and you see that this mysterious guy snatches the Spearow off of the Pokemon president, and he switches on, and he's like, one to enter. And this lady, I'm guessing she's a receptionist, she looks all intimidated, and she's like, yes, sir. And then,
keep in mind that, describe that middle panel. Look at that arm. We see a panel of an arm.
Oh yeah, this guy is jacked. You know this guy lifts.
This man is apparently very fit, very strong. We see a very muscular arm. Go ahead.
You start seeing on the next panel, he starts saying, excellent. All three are here. And you see pictures of Red, Blue, and surprise, Green. She's in this chapter today. You cut next on the next panel and you see this huge ass arena, a whole bunch of people, and they're all just chanting, and then you hear someone speaking on the microphone. The Pokemon League.
We're finally here, guys. We're finally at the Pokemon League. Now, at the beginning of this episode, we pretty much started off that we're about to face the Elite Four. Keep in mind, here in the manga, they took a leaf out of the anime where you don't fight the Elite Four, at least not yet. This is a tournament, trainer against trainer. Pretty much all the trainers that managed to get Kanto's 8 gym badges, they're about to start. The main big panel that we see here is a large arena. We have a huge crowd. We have an announcer announcing that the Pokemon League is about to start. We have, towards very large letters, everybody saying, hooray! Just imagine a huge crowd, a huge arena filled with people cheering everybody on. And we get the large letters describing today's chapter, which is Just a Spear Carrier. We're going to go on to the next page. And the first thing that we start off with is an immediate Pokemon battle. And we have a Poliwrath versus Kabutops. And of course, this Poliwrath is Red's Poliwrath. But guys, guess what?
What?
We finally get some justice for Poliwrath. You want to go ahead, Uriel, and describe what's going on in this battle?
All right. So just like how I read in the description before we started the episode, this Kabutops is... That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's Kabutops.
Kabutops.
Kabutops, yes.
Kabutops. He's dashing towards the Poliwrath with its big scythe hands or whatever they're called. Its blades. He's about to slash that Poliwrath. And then you hear a command. Double team. And then you see how this Poliwrath just vanishes. He appears in the back. And then you hear the same voice. Gotcha! And this Poliwrath punches that Kabutops and he goes like rolling down on the arena, and it looks like he fainted or he got knocked out. You can see the little X marks on his eyes, and then you see that there's like a loud microphone talking that says, "All right, I'm in the semifinals."
Well, I think that's Red.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that's Red. My bad.
Yes, we see a screen that says Group C, first place, Red. So, yes. Finally, we see Poliwrath gain a victory. Just immediately punches that Kabutops, knocks him out, and then we're going to look at the final two panels towards the bottom of the page, and it shows Red. Red says, "You ever see..." Well, actually, no. Somebody calls Red from behind and says, "You ever see a battle that intense before?" Red turns around looking confused. So we go on to the next page, and it's nobody other than Blue himself. Now, Urien, what Pokemon is standing behind Blue?
I want to say that's a Pidgeot.
Correct. That's a Pidgeot. So we get Blue standing on top of the battle arena with his Pidgeot behind him. He's the one that spoke to Red. Red is looking up to him. Blue smirks at him. He's like, "Hey." And then Red is like, "You," holding up a Pokeball. Towards the middle of the page, we get another message board. It says Group D, first place Blue. And we get a dialogue bubble that says, "Winner of the D group is Blue." Blue immediately jumps off the arena, stands in front of Red. Red has a question mark above him. We go on to the next page. Blue says, "I don't suppose I need to tell you, Red, that in the history of the Pokemon League, every single winner of the championships has been a trainer from Pallet Town." Red says, "Yeah?" Blue immediately calls back his Pidgeot, has the Pokeball in his hand, and he continues. "The question is, this year, which one will it be?" Now remember, guys, as far as we know, Red and Blue are trainers from Pallet Town. So now Red smirks at Blue back and says, "Yeah, you or me?" Go on, Uriel. What's going on in the bottom two panels?
You see that they're both smirking at each other. And on the next panel, you get Blue telling him, "I look forward to meeting you in the final round." And you see a next segment right here. There's a dialogue bubble that says, "Group winners, please proceed to the arena." And I just want to point out real quick, I think it's just me, but I have a little pet peeve with the Pidgeot whole line thing. I hate that Pidgeot's final evolution is Pidgeot and not Pidgeotto.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like Pidgeotto would be such a proper name for Pidgeot.
I was about to ask you, is this a name thing or a design thing?
No. It's a name thing.
I see what you mean.
Because it's Pidgey, then it should be Pidgeot, then Pidgeotto. But it's Pidgey, Pidgeotto, and Pidgeot. Like,
that's true. I see what you mean. That's
confusing. Well, I just don't like that. But I mean, I now, guess...
I also have a bit of a side note, and this is more of a dig towards the anime. One of the things that Blue tells Red, in the past, the Pokemon League Championship winners has always been a Pallet Town trainer. For anybody that remembers, that has watched the anime since episode one, we all know that when it's time for Ash to choose his starter Pokemon, Professor Oak tells Ash, "You know what? You got here late. Other trainers got here on time. And they took all the starter Pokemon. But I have Pikachu." My biggest complaint towards the anime has always been this. Besides Gary, who were the other trainers?
They never talk about it. But you know what? It doesn't matter because they're not important.
But see, that's because the anime decided not to make it important. Wouldn't it have been amazing or at least better storytelling that Ash would have had more rivals instead of Gary? Gary, for anybody that remembers, Gary chooses Squirtle. Who chose Bulbasaur? Who chose Charmander? Till this day, in 2024, as far as I know, now, I don't know about any YouTubers or any Pokemon theorists out there, but as far as I know, it was never confirmed who chose the other trainers. Did they make it to the Pokemon League? Did they get Kanto's gym badges? Who were they? Why did they remain a mystery? Why couldn't they have also been Ash's rivals?
You know what? Isn't there an episode where Gary beats a trainer with a Charizard? With a Charmander? There is.
I don't remember, to be
honest. I think there is because if I'm not mistaken, I think it's in one of those episodes where Ash stumbles across him. Mm-hmm. And he's beating a trainer with his Squirtle. And that trainer has a Charmander. Could but be. I'm not sure if it's the guy from Pallet Town, but I'm just saying, like, they're relevant characters. They don't play an important role.
It would have been cool. Like, it would have been awesome, in my opinion.
The only thing that has them going on is the fact that those two trainers chose Charmander and Bulbasaur. That's it.
But see, the cool thing is that we all know that later on, Ash ends up catching Charmander, Bulbasaur, and Squirtle himself. So it would have been pretty cool to follow up on, like, hey, remember me? I'm the guy that didn't get to choose to start a Pokemon. But now I have all three, and I have my Pikachu. Let's battle. Let's battle at the Pokemon League. It would have just made it more intense. Just
better. Ash did what every typical trainer did. He used a hack to get all three starters. You know, because they're not even from the beginning.
Okay, let's go back to the story. We're going to go back to the manga. We're back to Red. We're back to Blue. So these guys pretty much agree to themselves, like, hey, we're going to battle in the final battle. It's going to be you, Red, versus me, Blue. We get a final announcement that says, group winners, please proceed to the arena. Red looks excited. He's crunching up his wrist and he's just like, okay, let's go. And now we cut across to another trainer, a female trainer that we know as Green. She's chasing off a little, looks like a little tiny little male Nidoran.
Female.
Oh, you're right.
Female.
It is the female Nidoran, which is the blue one. And she says, oh my, now in this little panel that we get here, we get the female Nidoran kissing a male Nidoran. And it looks like the owner of this male Nidoran is a fisherman who also has a Butterfree. He's also holding a fishing rod that at the end he has a Pokeball. Green continues and says, there you are, my little Nido. Oh, and look who found herself a boyfriend. Green continues and now she's holding up a Weedle. She's presented this Weedle to the fisherman and she says, our Pokemon like each other, so we should too. How about a Pokemon trade to seal the deal, huh? Like my Weedle for your big, strong Butterfree. The fisherman looks confused, like, what? Red now interrupts and says, you, still up to your old tricks, I see. Green turns around, faces Red and says, I mean, hi, Red, what's up? Red says, what do you mean, what's up? What are you doing? And let me go on to the next page. And what's going on right here, Uriel?
You see that there's a monitor in the back of the page. And on the next panel, you see that there's an announcement on the screen. Group A, first place, Green. And then you see that she tells Red. She's like, weren't those preliminaries easy? Red goes on to saying, you're going to be in the semifinals? And she's like, well then, see you in the arena. I don't plan on losing because I'm a trainer from Pallet Town too, you know. And Red is like, what? And then he goes on the next panel. You see that he's like, hey, get back here. What did you say? And then there's a guy that comes from behind him. He starts grabbing him. He's like, congrats on the preliminary filler. The Final Four. Hoo-wee. You seen the matchups yet? And then guess who it is? Good old Bill.
Good old Bill from the outskirts of Cerulean City. Good old country Bill. So yes, going back to Red. Red is freaking out from what he just learned. We not only him, but also us. We're just learning for the first time that Green is also from Pallet Town. That as far as we know, according to the manga, we didn't know where she was from, where she came from, what she wanted. We're just learning this now. And then now Red faces up with his good old buddy Bill. And what does Bill tell him? Bill, well, now in the next page, we get a image of the tournament trainers, which we have the winner of Group D, which is blue. The winner of Group C, which is red, and the winner of Group A, which is green. Red is looking also at this tournament board, and he's like, you mean it's me and blue in the first round? And then we get a panel that says, at the final stage arena. Red is kind of nervous. He says that he's taking a deep breath. He's like, oh. And then Bill's like, oh, heck, Red. I know you was fingering on coming up against that rival of yours in the finals. But real life don't follow a script. Now it looks like it's Green's turn. Green is the first one up to in the battle arena. Bill continues and says, hey, this is B winner, Dr. O, which is the trainer that we saw at the beginning of the chapter. The man, the buff man with the buff arms, had his knuckles all wrapped up in black tape. Bill says, scary looking fella, ain't he? Now, let's describe a little bit about this man here. Obviously, to anybody reading the manga, we know immediately who he is. But first, let's describe him a little bit. Go ahead, Uriel.
I love the fact that they introduce a mysterious character, but they're like so terrible at making him so subtle. Like, I hate that.
Well, let's be honest. It was never the intention to keep you wondering. Well, only at the beginning. Only at the beginning, because all we saw were his hands and his arm, which for whatever reason, he's buff. But here, finally, in this chapter, we show who the mysterious trainer is at the beginning. And we see a man wearing a black muscle shirt. Both his hands are wrapped up in some sort of black tape. He has a belt with one Pokeball on it. For whatever reason, this man also has like a black bandana covering his face.
It's like a black bandage that's wrapped around his face.
Exactly. Now, we still see his mouth. We see his hair. We see his eyes. Red is like, and weird. But as we all know, anybody, because we don't want to keep you guys wondering, it's clearly Professor Oak.
I like that. We know that. But the characters don't even know who he is. I'm just like, if we can figure that out, how is it that they can't? Like,
well, two things I had to mention. Number one, this is that whole Ash Ketchum thing that whenever Jesse and James from Team Rocket were in different disguises, Ash till this day cannot recognize who they are.
But you see, they do an effort to disguise themselves. Oak here just puts a freaking bandage over his face and wears a tank top.
You're right. But this goes to my second point. He's buff.
Oh, yeah. This guy is ripped. This guy may be old, but you know what? He's ripped.
Guys, for anybody that has never read the manga, if you've only remember Professor from the anime, Professor Oak from the game, we only ever see him wearing a scientist, a researcher lab coat, correct?
You know, your typical polo shirt and khaki pants.
Exactly. Now, here in the manga, though, we see him in a muscle shirt, and we clearly see that the man works out.
He's ripped.
He said, I'm not just a researcher. I don't only train my Pokemon. I also train these guns.
I hit the gym every day.
And I don't mean just the Pokemon gym. My man is over here hitting up Planet Fitness every night.
I have a question now. To my knowledge, to what so far what we've read, in order for Red, Blue, and Green to get there, they have to have all 8 badges, right?
Correct.
Why is Professor Oak there? He's
That's a good question.
He doesn't go to the gyms. He doesn't fight the gym leaders. Well, and even if he did, which is also another question, Green, how many gyms does she have? How many badges does she have?
Let's be honest. Green obviously stole them.
Yeah, but
she's,
I mean,
she's a little thief.
Yeah, but if anything, to so far with what we have read, the only person that has the that should have gym badges that's been collecting them is Red.
Blue as well. Remember?
Yeah, but we've only seen like what, one or two?
Well, remember, Blue, most of Blue's adventure was off screen, off pages.
Right.
We just know that he's a good trainer. To a certain extent, he's even a better trainer than Red.
Right. But then that means he would have had to fight Giovanni. But Giovanni's not even a gym leader. And the same thing goes for Green.
Well, he is a gym leader. The question is, when did he fight him? And there's a good chance that he fought him before Red defeated him. Now, for all of my anime fans, who knows? This is just my own theory. Maybe this also applies to the manga. Gary Oak from the anime presented to Ash one episode. He had about 10 or 12 badges. And for anybody that has seen that screenshot, where are those extra badges from?
Right.
A bunch of them are badges that were never from the game. So my theory is that just like in the anime, in the manga, there's also other gym leaders, other cities with gyms that we just don't know about. And as far as the Pokemon League, the Indigo Plateau goes, you just simply need 8 badges. Doesn't matter where they come from. You just need 8.
Right. But I'm saying, like, for when it comes to, like, for example, Blue and Green. Okay, Green. Green is a thief.
Green is a thief. She stole her badges.
But where is she going to get Giovanni's badge? Okay. I feel like this is just a plot hole. Because they don't, even when Giovanni was fighting with Red, you would have think that Giovanni would make some claims like, oh yeah, I fought another trainer just as good as you, but you know, he might have been even better than you to a certain extent or whatever. Or that, oh yeah, there was a girl that robbed my badge. I don't even know how she got close to me or whatever. But Giovanni doesn't even make a claim. So I'm like, this is just like a plot hole.
You bring up a good point. But hey, what can we say? But like I said, the anime pretty much proved that there was other badges, again, straying away from the games. Don't look at me like that. It's just the way it goes. I'm not a writer. I'm not an anime writer. It's just the way it's been presented. But anyways.
Look, you're the one that knows this. How do you not know this? This is why you're doing this. You're the master of this.
I'm presenting my theories here.
Okay, well, your theory sucks.
We're going to go on. The last panel that we see is Professor Oak wearing a black muscle shirt. My man is looking buff. He looks like he's saying, I don't need a Pokemon fight. I'll fight you myself.
Does he really only have one Pokemon?
We'll see right now. We're going to go on to the next page. And it's official. It's Professor Oak, or his alias, Dr. O, versus Green. We see Green immediately ready to take out. She takes her battle pose. We see 2 Pokeballs hanging from her waist. And we get the announcer that says, let the match begin.
Ding, ding, ding.
Immediately, Green takes out a Jigglypuff. And Professor Oak, Dr. O, takes out, who is that, Uriel?
That's Spearow,
which goes back to the question that I was asking Uriel in the beginning about the early route bird Pokemon. So the battle begins. It's Jigglypuff versus Spearow. We get a panel of the crowd. Everybody's like in awe, looking around, and says, hey, that girl, she's bringing out a Jigglypuff in a match like this. The second panel, we get the back of Jigglypuff getting ready to fight Spearow. We go inside of Red's head, and it says, Red's like, she wouldn't lead with a cute Pokemon unless it's part of her strategy, probably to get her opponent to lay his guard down. Then Red now starts analyzing the Spearow, and he says, but what's with this guy Spearow? the last panel is Green looking a little confused. Her thought bubble is just a bunch of dots. We go on to the next page. Go ahead, Uriel, take it away.
She looks at that Spearow and she's like, ah, silly old Spearow. In the Pokemon League semifinals? Do you think I'm such a pushover? Just because I'm a cute little girl? And you just see that Dr. O is just looking at Green. So menacing. Like, jeez. Scary. And then she's like, well, let's find out, shall we? And then it looks like Jigglypuff is doing an attack. She's like encasing herself in like a triangle, and it's like a beam that's charging up. And you hear Green saying, attack!
Now, let me interrupt you there. Sorry about that. So, remember, guys, me and Uriel are both reading different translations here. And I actually wanted to ask them. In your version, it just says attack.
Yeah.
Same with mine. So I thought maybe with yours, it was going to say something else. But considering that Jigglypuff is encasing herself in a triangle, the only thing that I could think about is that it's using Tri-Attack.
Tri-Attack?
As far as I know, for my listeners, for all our listeners out there, correct me if I'm wrong.
Is that even a real attack? I've never heard of that.
Yes, it is. Usually, the three-headed Pokemon learn it. Like Dodrio, Hydreigon, not Dugtrio, but I know that Porygon learns it.
Yeah, but I'm...
It's a normal type attack that ends up hitting the opponent with an electric... And then it ends up hitting the opponent with an ice type, electric, and a fire type move.
Really?
Correct. But like I said, here in the manga, it doesn't say what attack Green tells Jigglypuff to do. Jigglypuff simply encases herself in a triangle or some sort of little pyramid and hits this, or tries to hit the Spearow with a beam. Go on, Uriel.
And then you see that it looks like the attack lands on the Spearow, and you see a whole bunch of smoke, and you hear whoosh, there's a whole bunch of smoke and dust, and you see Green is, she's being really cocky, and she's like, I won all my prelims with a single shot. And then you look at Dr. O, he starts grinning, and you see that the Spearow, looking all menacing, flies out of nowhere, and he's like diving in. And then you hear that the Dr. O is like, Fury Attack! On the next panel, you start seeing that Jigglypuff is singing or talking or something like that. Green is like, hey, no fair, Jigglypuff, sing!
No. Before we continue on to that part with Jigglypuff singing, the first panel of the following page is, while Spearow is doing its fury attack, Green places her hand on her head and basically starts kneeling down like she can't stand the look of Spearow. Now, remember guys, a few chapters ago, when Green was facing off against Sabrina, she immediately fainted when she saw the fusion of Zapdos, Articuno's, and Moltres, giving us the idea that she has some sort of bird phobia.
That is true. I just remember that. Yeah. So
right now that she sees this Spearow coming up to her face to face, she's freaking out, confirming once again that she's afraid of birds.
Is there a name for that?
Bird phobia?
No, like a scientific name?
Bird phobia.
Ah. Okay, so you don't know.
Spearobia. But yes, and that's when Green, looking totally off balance, that's when she immediately orders her Jigglypuff. It's like, hey, no fair, Jigglypuff, sing! Now, for everybody that knows, sing puts your opponent to sleep. So we see all these musical notes coming out of Jigglypuff, encircling the Spearow. We get a panel of all the fans watching, experiencing, witnessing this battle. They start falling asleep. Even Red, we get a close-up panel of Red. He's like, oh, so sleepy. Who's not playing fair now? Apparently, though, in the bottom panel, Spearow, it has no effect on Spearow. Spearow just brushes it off like, ha! Now we get a panel of Blue. Blue says, the song isn't even reaching the Spearow. Jigglypuff doesn't have the speed to fight flying-type Pokemon. We go on to the next page, and we just see, basically, Jigglypuff and Spearow fighting it out. Jigglypuff trying to land a hit on Spearow. It's just, we just get all these fast images of Spearow flying around, Jigglypuff trying to hit it with some sort of beam that's coming out of its hand. We get Green saying, "Oh, you take that and that." Now Red is saying, "Idiot, what are you doing? Switch to an aerial battle." He's obviously shouting this to Green. Now Green responds, is like, "Come on, hurry." She's instructing her Jigglypuff. And then now she responds to Red. She's like, "I can't." Red is like, what do you mean? Now Green turns around looking nervous. We get a little sweat mark on her, the side of her cheek. And she's like, "I can't. I don't have a flying type Pokemon, okay?" Red is in shock. He's like, "What? Go on, Uriel. What's going on in this battle?"
You see that there's like two more Pokemon that Dr. O takes out in the battle, which I want to point out, the whole battle technique is like off the books. Like, they throw it out the window.
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, Dr. O takes out a Pidgeot and a Dodrio?
Yeah, like, what the heck?
But they're not part of the battle. What is he trying to do?
That's true. He's probably trying to confuse her or something like that.
Scare her.
Yeah, that is true.
He clearly knows that Green has some sort of bird phobia.
I want to point out that I did look that up. And the scientific term.
Here we go.
I might botch it up, but it's ornithophobia.
Wow.
Ornithophobia is the abnormal and irrational fear of birds, as well as a type of specific phobia. Pretty interesting.
Never heard of it.
Neither have I, but wanted to point that out.
But yes, all we know is that Green is afraid of birds.
Of birds. So now you see that O takes out these two Pokemon, and then I believe it's him that's saying, "I think you may be the one who underestimates your opponent, little girl." Ooh. And then Red is on the next panel. He's like, "They're all flying Pokemon. He must know Green's weak spot." And then you see, for some reason, I don't even know how this happens, Professor Oak is like right behind her. He goes up to her and he's like, "Let this be a lesson to you. No matter what your reasons, stealing from other people will never pay." And you see that Green is like, whoa.
Freaking out.
Yeah. And then on the next panel, there's like a little mind bubble. And she's like, who is this guy? Professor Oak just looks like a total creep, man.
He really does.
Yeah. And on the next panel, she's like, "An opening! Disable!"
So yes, Green immediately orders the Jigglypuff to use Disable, but it almost looks like she tells the Jigglypuff to attack Dr. Oak.
Dr. Oak!
She says, "Disable!" And then now Professor Oak, for whatever reason, now is somehow
falling back.
Behind Green, he's like, "Oh, like, what's going on?" Now, Green reaches towards her waist, grabs another Pokeball, and this is what she says. She's like, "Well, if an aerial battle is my only choice," she takes out Blastoise, which, keep in mind, the Blastoise that she takes out, we just see his shell. We don't see his head. We don't see his arms. We don't see his leg. He comes out just as an empty shell. And then towards the bottom of the panel, we see one of his arms popping out. The second panel shows one of Blastoise's famous cannons immediately shooting out water. And then the third panel, we get the whole crowd, including Bill and Red. Everybody's looking confused. This is like, huh? We go on to the next page. And Green now, we see that the Blastoise, after coming out of the Pokeball, grabs Green. Upside down, Green is hanging on to Blastoise's feet, legs, and the bottom of Blastoise is shooting out a hydro pump, which is what Green orders Blastoise to say. And with the force of the hydro pump, Green is now in the air. We get the second panel. Green is saying, "Just because I don't have a flying type Pokemon doesn't mean I can't get into the air. It may not be what you define as aerial." And in the bottom panel, we see that Blastoise is straight out hitting Spearow with a full-on blast of a hydro pump. And Green says, "But it works for me," which is pretty cool. Guys, keep in mind, we have never seen this in an anime. Blastoise is flipped upside down. Green, the trainer, is grabbing onto the Blastoise.
Like a jetpack.
Like a jetpack. Like a
water jetpack.
Exactly. We don't see Blastoise's head at all. All Blastoise is showing from his shell are his legs and his cannons. His cannons are shooting towards the bottom, making green go up in the air. Want to go on, Uriel?
I want to point out the difference in the text that you just read earlier because I have a different version. She screams out. She tells Blastoise, hydro pump. And then she goes on and says, just because I don't have any bird Pokemon doesn't mean I can't get into the air. It may not be what you meant by arsenal. And then on the next panel, you know, she goes on and she says, but it works for me. And then she turns around and she says, oh, and while we're at it, let's see what you look like, shall we? And she literally unmasks this mystery guy.
Because the Hydro Pump is not only hitting Spearow.
That is true.
But it's also hitting Dr. O.
Wouldn't that really kill him, though? I mean, that's like a high-pressure water cannon.
It's clear that Professor Oak is in good shape.
You know what? That is true. He's not. This guy literally just popped up right behind her.
The guy is in better shape than you and me both.
For real, man.
Jeez. Guy has a pretty good bicep from what we saw on the first page.
You see on the next panel that there's an audio bubble. You know, they're shouting out from the speakers. And Aerial Hydro Pump, you saw it here first. You see that the Hydro Pump is hitting both the Spearow and Dr. O. And you see that Dr. O is like, the bandages, they're slipping off. Oh, no, someone else is saying that. They're like, the bandages, they're slipping off his face. And you see that Dr. O gives out that menacing grin. And then he's like, you know how a parrot can bounce any word back at you? And Green is all like confused. She's like, what? She's like, well, my Spearow can do that with words. And, you know, you hear that Dr. O is like, mirror move.
For all everybody listening, do you guys remember what mirror move does?
Nope.
Honestly, it's been a while that I've ever used or even seen that move in the games. But as far as I remember, mirror move basically imitates the same move back to you. This is almost like a Yu-Gi-Oh moment. I remember when any attack was sent to Yugi and Yugi out of nowhere whipped out the what was it? The reflection card, some sort of like that, that reflected back the move to the opponent.
I'm trying to think of the name.
I forgot what the card name, but that's basically what's happening here. Dr. O immediately tells Spearow, which is a valid flying type move. He tells Spearow, mirror move. We get Spearow looking very serious, a little circle resembling a mirror shows. And we cut back to Bill and Red. And Bill's describing, he's like, it's reflecting. The Spearow's making an energy reflector field. And now we got Spearow basically bouncing back Blastoise Hydro Pump back to Blastoise and to Green. We see that part of the Hydro Pump even hits Green. We cut back to Red. One of the panels shows Red, and it even shows that the screen shows an HP bar. Red is like, its health levels. This following panel shows Blastoise and Green both fall to the ground, while Spearow is flying above them, looking very triumphant. Green is now looking at the Spearow, honestly in fear. She's like, no, no. We go on to the next page. Green starts freaking out. She's holding her head within her hands. She's like, don't come near me. The crowd is looking confused. She's like, what's wrong with her? Now, Dr. O, we cut to Dr. O. And this is where some of Green's backstory is revealed. Dr. O says, what's wrong, Green? A phobia of flying type Pokemon? While he's speaking, the Spearow has now landed next to Green, who's freaking out. She's still holding her head. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. In the following panel, Dr. O says, 6 years ago, a little girl of 5 was abducted by a large legendary bird Pokemon. We get a small little panel of little Green, a tiny little Green. We get a shadow. We get a silhouette of a large bird Pokemon. Come on, Odin. Who is this legendary bird Pokemon?
Salamence?
No.
No, I'm kidding. That's Ho-Oh.
Correct. We get a silhouette of Ho-Oh. Keep in mind, guys, I'm not, forgive me for not knowing, I don't know when exactly this chapter was published, but clearly they're already hinting Ho-Oh in this manga.
That's gold and silver.
Correct. So we're not even in Johto yet. But yes, according to Dr. O, once again, he says, 6 years ago, a little girl of five was abducted by a large legendary bird.
I do want to point out that whole part is different in my version.
Oh, what is... Okay, should I continue first before you... Okay, let me say my version first. Then I'm going to let Uriel say his version. Dr. O says, at the time, I had a grandson who was also five. So I felt compelled to get involved. I was deeply involved with the investigation. I could never forget her face. And it shows a panel of Professor O holding green, little five-year-old Blue's hand. And it shows a lot of people searching for the little girl in the forest. Now we cut back to the present. Dr. O continues and he brings out a photograph of a young girl holding a Squirtle. And Dr. O continues, imagine my surprise when my security cameras caught the very same girls stealing my Squirtle. The following panel now shows Red and Bill looking hella shocked. Red is like, hey, this Dr. O guy, that's. We go on to the next page and they reveal that it's Professor Oak. Go on, Uriel. What does your version say of Dr. O's story of green?
So Dr. O starts walking up to her, and he's like, what's wrong, Green? A fear of birds. He goes on to the next panel, and you see, and he starts telling everybody, he's like, 6 years ago, there was a case in which a little girl of five was abducted by a large bird Pokemon. Oh. At the time, I had a grandson of the same age, so I had to get involved. I helped extensively with the investigation. I remember her face well. You can see the next panel, and he's like, imagine my surprise when my own security cameras caught that very same girl stealing a Squirtle. Everybody starts checking Dr. O, and Red is like, hey, this Dr. O, that's... And then you see the next panel. He's like, no surprises that a trauma like that would leave you phobic about birds, Green. Professor Oak!
Correct. So this is when Professor Oak finally reveals himself, at least to the crowd.
Yeah.
Because like I said, anybody reading the manga, you would know that immediately that it was Professor Oak. Now Green is angry. She's pissed. Because not only has this man use her phobia against her, now he also has revealed that she knows something very private about her. So now she immediately tells her Blastoise, water gun. And we see Blastoise shooting water from his mouth, not his cannons. Professor Oak just tells Spearow to use mirror move again, which knocks Green and Blastoise out. We get a panel of the health bar in the message board. Zero.
I like to point out that I like and I don't like the fact that it took this long for them to bring up any HP bar. Well, I mean, I feel like it's kind of like dumb to bring it out now.
Remember, this is an official Pokemon League battle.
I guess.
Any battles that we've seen before are more, I guess you could say, freestyle. More unofficial. It's like there's no board, there's no technology, but we have seen it before that the Pokédex does register their health. I can't remember what chapters, but the
Pokédex. I think I know what you're talking about. I've seen that.
Not only does the Pokédex show their health bar, but it also shows the moves that the Pokémon knows.
Yeah.
But yes, going back, Spearow reflects back the water gun to Green and Blastoise. Blastoise gets knocked out. And the last panel that we see of this page is Professor Oak raising his fist in victory. And the announcer officially confirms the winner, Dr. O. The crowd goes wild. Everybody's cheering. We go on to the next page. Green starts slowly raising herself up. And she says, I lost.
No, I think she falls down.
She falls down with the water gun attack alongside with the Blastoise.
Yeah, but it looks like she was standing up and she falls down to her knees.
Correct. So now Green slowly raises herself and she says, I lost. Now Professor O addresses her and says, now young lady, you owe me an explanation. You didn't have to steal Pokemon. Why did you do it? Red, now we cut to a panel with Red. He's looking concerned. He says, so, the Squirtle thief was you. Now Green is responding to Professor Oak and says, it wasn't fair. I grew up in a place I didn't know with no family. And we see this panel of 5-year-old Green abandoned in a forest or in the wilderness, and we see a very familiar tower. I'm not going to...
Is it a tower? I think it looks more like a tree.
No. Trust me. Anybody...
Okay, never mind. Yeah.
This is all I'm going to say. If you haven't read this chapter, just think to Johto and think of the two famous Johto towers. That's all I'm going to say. We get a silhouette of a very famous Johto tower. 5-year-old Green is standing before her, and she continues and says, all I remembered was that I came from somewhere called Pallet Town. And now we get a panel of showing a silhouette of Red, of Blue, and the Pokédex. And Green continues, then one day I found out that two boys my age from Pallet Town got a Pokemon and a Pokédex from Professor Oak and started their training journeys. Green continues and says, but she puts her hand on her knees and now she's yelling. She says, I was from Pallet Town too. I wanted to do what they were doing. We go on to the next page. Go on, Uriel.
She continues to say, she's like, I wanted to get a Pokemon from you and a Pokedex to take on my journey. And you see that Dr. Oak goes up to her and he's like, Green, do you remember what I just said? No matter what the reasons you shouldn't steal, if you can promise me that you understand now, and you see that on that panel, he hands her something. He gives something to her. And she's like, oh, she's like the third Pokedex. Oh, no. Oak is telling her. She's like, the third Pokedex. Now you are also a trainer from Pallet Town. And you see that Green is all, she's getting her eyes all watery. She's all sad. And she's like, and she starts crying. And then you see that Oak is like, I'm just glad that you're all right. You cut onto another panel and you see that Bill is like crying.
Bill's like, getting all emotional. Red is kind of laughing. Even Pikachu standing on Red's hat, they're looking at it like, come down, man.
For reals. And you cut onto the next panel and you're like, and you see that they're in the players' locker room. You cut up and you see that Oak is like, phew, what a workout. I haven't done this in a while. Please. I love that modesty.
Right?
You cut on to the next panel and you see that Blue's right there with his grandpa. He's like, grandfather, if you're the winner of the first match, then that means that whoever wins between Red and me has to fight you. And then you cut on to the next. It looks like a flashback. And he's like, nah. I've already won myself a championship. I don't need this.
Now, in that panel, Uriel, who is Professor Oak fighting?
An old lady. I don't know. I don't remember her name. I know you just told me her name, but...
Correct. So, in that small flashback panel, Professor Oak tells Blue, his grandson, he's like, I've already won myself my own championship. I don't need this. And we get a flashback panel of Professor Oak battling Agatha of the Elite Four.
You see on the next panel that Oak is telling his grandson, he's like, I'm bowing out. You two are on your own in the finals. And you get a little speaker and, you know, the announcer is saying, your attention, please. It has just been announced that the winner of the first semifinal match, Dr. O, has withdrawn from the competition. Since tournament rules prohibit the loser of a semifinal from continuing on, The scheduled second semifinal has now been declared to be the final match.
Correct. And as we know now, the only by default trainers left in the Pokemon League is Red versus Blue. And that, my friends and listeners, is the end of chapter 39.
Oof.
Next chapter, for chapter 40, we are finally going to see the championship battle. The battle for the championship, Red versus Blue, which is a battle that we've been all waiting for. This story has all been leading up to this.
Yes, sir.
And now we are finally here. We are finally at the championship battle. Really quick, Uriel, what are your thoughts on chapter 39?
Pretty intense episode. I mean, I hate the lack of mystery that they tried to envelop, but overall, it was a really good episode. And I like it that they gave a closure to the character Green. You know, at least for me, being a first-time reader of this manga, they finally brought up her story of who she was and what she's doing. And, you know, it's a really good episode. I really like it.
Correct. And I think I absolutely love that, especially for us who are reading this chapter now in 2024, anywhere in the last 10 years, even 15 years, they slowly started teasing Johto.
Yeah.
We saw a silhouette of a very famous Johto tower. We also saw the silhouette and shadow of a legendary bird Pokemon from Johto. Like I said, guys, if you're not reading this along, you're missing out. Because remember, a manga is a visual media. We're describing this to you guys, but you guys are not watching what we're reading if you're not reading along. But go ahead, pick up this chapter and see what we're looking at. See who this legendary Pokemon is. Look at the building, the tower that was teased here. But go ahead. Were you going to say something else?
I also like that they do the same thing in the anime. In the first episode that you see.
Oh.
Who do you see in the first episode at the end?
You're right. Ho.
Yeah.
Correct. So, that's very true.
I like that they did that.
Correct. Now, one last little bit that I have to say here. We're in here over an hour. You know what? I know this is probably one of our longest chapter, but we're almost done with volume 3, guys. So, Hopefully you guys are still listening. So we'll
hopefully.
I'm going to continue with a little bit of side knowledge here, a little extra bonus knowledge. I wonder how many of you guys know this, but did you guys know that in Pokemon Yellow, there's a glitch where you can battle Professor Oak?
Oh, really?
I guess you could call it as a secret boss.
Mm.
Yes, Professor Oak is somebody that you can battle, but it's a glitch. It looks like it was intended to be part of the main game, but they decided to just scrap it. But hackers managed to find that code, and it's pretty crazy. I don't know if anybody out there has actually fulfilled this glitch. I haven't done it myself. It would have been pretty cool if they would have left it. Kind of like back in the Johto games where you find Red at the top of Mount Silver. I don't think none of us expected to find that, but it was one hell of a legendary surprise. But yes, guys, we are finally at the Pokemon League. We finally saw the battle between Green versus Professor Oak. Professor Oak drops out of the battle after defeating and basically humiliating Green for stealing the Squirtle.
But that's what she gets.
That's what she gets for being a thief. Remember, guys, as Professor Oak says, stealing is wrong.
Stealing doesn't get you anywhere.
Pretty much.
You know, I kind of don't like that. I would have liked to see Dr. O
battle
between Green and Red.
That would have been cool.
I would have liked to see that.
Correct. But yes, guys, we're already running a little on a little bit of overtime here. But hopefully you guys are still listening. Please, once again, if you haven't rated us on Spotify, if you haven't rated us on Apple Podcasts, please help us out. Help us out with those rating, guys. It's the best way to get our podcast out there. Share the podcast with other Pokemon fans. And once again, guys, we will see you in 2 weeks. And it's time for the final chapter, for the finale, Red versus Blue. Thank you so much, guys. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Laters.
smell you later.